Praise the Lord. Well, tonight, I just believe that the Holy Ghost is going to... In fact, let me pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your people and to teach them, Lord. Lord, I can't do anything on my own, so I ask you by your Holy Spirit tonight, Lord, to lead me, to guide me, to give me the words to say, Lord, and to give them the hearts to receive what you have for them tonight, Lord, because... Without you, I'm nothing. I can't do this. I knew that a long time ago. But it's funny how you, Lord, like to take people and things and turn them around and just upset their lives. And so here I am. And I want to give you praise and glory for it, Lord. Amen. And let's open your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you. You've got a hint over the last couple, three announcement times about being prepared beforehand for His glory. Not only being prepared beforehand for His glory, but containing His glory. Amen? And I'm gonna show you by Scripture just what I mean. And I hope that it's not too many notes for you. But I've got quite a few here. Romans chapter 9 is where we're going to start, in verse 23. And if you have an Amplified Bible, I would suggest you get it available because I'm going to hit it a few times. Some of these things just have to be read in the Amplified. Verse 23 in the New King James, Romans chapter 9, verse 23. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Now, I want to stop right there. That word glory, I looked it up. In the Greek, it's the word doxa, D-O-X-A. And it really could have been translated as dignity, glory, glorious, honor, praise, or worship. Guess where I'm going? Amen? So keep that in mind every time you see this word in my teaching tonight. It could mean praise, it could mean worship, it could mean honor, it could mean dignity. The translator chose to use the word glory because they felt that encompassed it all. Amen? The riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory. We've been prepared beforehand. He set us apart. He foreordained us for one thing, to contain His glory. Amen? That's how His glory is going to cover the earth. He's not going to come down and cover the earth. He's going to cover the earth with His glory through us. Amen? Beforehand for glory, even us. Turn to your neighbor and say, even you.
Even you.
Now turn to the other neighbor and say, even me.
Even me.
Amen? Even us, whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So he's not bestowing this glory on just the Jews, which we know was his chosen people. No, we're his called people. Amen? He took the olive tree and he grafted in branches. Well, as long as you're from the same rootstock, guess what? You grow and you get the same thing that the normal branches would have gotten. Amen? So we get the same things that His chosen people were to have because we've been grafted in. We've been made by and through the Son of Jesus, His children, His heirs. Amen? Heirs to the promises, every promise that He has. Amen? But see here, we were prepared beforehand for His glory. Not only for His glory, but for His praise, for His worship. Amen? We were prepared to carry His dignity and His honor. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, back up to chapter 8. And look at verse 18. Verse 18. And I'm going to read this one from the Amplified, so if you have an Amplified... Amen. Praise the Lord. Is everybody awake?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to put you to sleep. I'll have to call on the Holy Ghost if you start falling asleep. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I said you were prepared beforehand for His glory. But guess what it says here? But what of that? Paul says, what of that? So what? For I consider the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worthy of being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed in us and to us and for us and conferred upon us. Amen? The sufferings of this life aren't worthy of it. Amen? Of the glory that's about to be. And that's, I think it's past tense already. I think it's already been deposited. At least in me. And if it's been in me, it should be in you, because He's no respecter of persons. Amen? Now let me read that in the New King James. It's a little easier to read, but I like the Amplified. Amen? Hallelujah. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Well, how's it going to be revealed in us? If it's in us, how's it going to be revealed? We have to let it come forth. Amen? We have to let it cover the earth. And we do that through praise and worship. That's one way. Probably one of the best ways to display His glory, as a matter of fact. Amen? Hallelujah. Jump down to verse 29. Same chapter. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. How's He going to get that glory in you? He's going to conform you to the image of His Son. Now, I don't know about you, but when the word conform to me is pretty harsh. Because when someone makes me conform to their rules, I have to do exactly what they say or what their rules say. If I'm going to be conformed into the image of His Son, I'm going to be exactly like His Son in every aspect. Amen? I'm going to look like Him. I'm going to talk like Him. I'm going to walk like Him. The same power that flowed through Him is going to flow through me. Amen? The same glory that He held is going to be within me, and people are going to see it. Amen? If they're not seeing it, something's wrong with me. Because He already told me He put it there. Amen? Praise the Lord. That He might be, I'm just going to finish the verse, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, there's your example. He was the firstborn. I'm one of the next few born anyways. You know, it might be a couple of thousand, but, you know, I'm one of them. Amen? What are you going to do with that after you got it? What are you going to do with that image? What are you going to do with that glory? Why did God give it to you? He had a purpose in mind, to cover the earth with His glory. There's more to it than that. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 10. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Everybody there? To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. That the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Okay, so we're supposed to make making something known. And I think part of that is His glory. There's more to it than that. His power. Amen? Everything that Jesus did when He was here on earth, we're supposed to be carrying on. Because when He left us the helper, the comforter, and the teacher, so that we wouldn't be orphans without Jesus. Amen? Right. So that we could carry on the work that He had started. Amen? To the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. It's interesting that principalities and powers, every time you see it in the Bible, it's referring to demon principalities and powers. Amen. It's not talking about angelic. It's talking about demon powers and principalities. We're supposed to make known, through the glory that's been deposited in us, the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers of this that are in basically in control of this earth. We're supposed to be a slap in the devil's face.
Amen.
Amen. We're supposed to be a slap in the devil's face. When he looks at us, he's not supposed to see us. He's supposed to see Jesus. Amen. He's supposed to see the glory of God and know that there's nothing he can do about it. Because it's there. And it says right here that we're supposed to display it. Amen? It's really interesting. We're supposed to display that. And you know what? The angels are peering down here to try to see that. They're trying to see what we're doing. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Come on. You getting anything?
Yes,
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. And really, I only want to read the last part. The last part's only one, but I'm going to read the whole verse to you. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. Through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Everything that you and I do as ministers of the gospel, the angels desire to look into. Now, that Greek word desire means to covet, desire, or to lust after. That's a pretty strong emotion or action. Amen? And the phrase look into, if you were to translate it into modern day English, it would mean to bend over or lean over so as to get a better view while peering into something. They're up there on the rail, if there is one, and they're leaning over and they're looking down and they're trying to see what we're doing. Amen? Are we doing what they should be seeing? Ooh. I said that to myself. Okay? I'm not pointing a finger. I said it to myself. Am I doing what they should be seeing? If I'm not, I need to be. Amen? Because the glory is already here. And with that glory comes the power and the anointing and the ability. Amen? That's where it's at. It's in the glory. And I'm going to prove that to you. Amen? Before we get out of here tonight, I'm going to prove that to you. The angels are desiring to see what we're doing. That should mean something to you. They're eager to find out what we're up to. Well, the scripture says that we can put them to work for us. Amen? They want to know what we're up to so they can get prepared for what we're about to ask them to do. Come on. I'm going to send an angel forth. He might want to have to get prepared. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. I should have told you to keep your place. I'm sorry. It's easy to find, though. Ephesians chapter 3, and let's jump down to verse 16. I got to set the stage for something else here. Amen? The Holy Ghost wants to show you something else. Verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Thank you, Jesus, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. How's he going to grant you something? To the riches of his glory. Amen. It's all in the glory, folks. Anything you get is going to come from the glory. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now, I want to stop for just a minute and talk about the word dwell. That Greek word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I'll spell it for you. It's K-A-T-O-I-K-E-O. Okay? And it means to house permanently or to be a habitation of. That Christ may be a habitation in your hearts, or that he may have a permanent home in your heart. okay? Through your faith. Notice how. Through your faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Come on. What is the width, the length, the breadth, and the height? To know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. We're still not where I want to go. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. Are you running over yet? Amen? That's powerful here, folks. Filled with the fullness of God. Now why? Now to Him, verse 20, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. How did that power get there? He just put it there with His glory. Come on. Amen. To Him be glory in the church. Where's the glory?
In the church.
Where's the glory?
In the church.
Is it? It's supposed to be. Amen? By Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The glory is supposed to be in the church. Not out there. We're supposed to take it out there and show it to them. Amen? Okay, let's go back to chapter 2, verse 22 in Ephesians. Amen? Actually, I got to start at 21. Chapter 2, verse 21. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Okay? Now, we're a building block. And we're a part of a building. And we're being builded up as a body, as a church body. But we're an individual piece. Amen? Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for what? For a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That word dwelling place is the same word. Well, it's the same root word. It means a habitation place for God by the Spirit. Amen? God wants to inhabit us. Doesn't it say he inhabits the praises of his people? Uh-oh. But wasn't the word glory, couldn't it also have been praise? So God inhabits the glory that's in his people also. Come on. Praise the Lord. God is good, amen?
Amen.
Okay. In fact, if you have a King James version, it actually says instead of dwelling place, it says habitation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to work on this dwelling place a little bit. I want to show you just how much he wants to dwell in you and be a habitation. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. Amen. Here we go. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus, okay, we know it's Jesus because in Him's capitalized, all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness of what? Well, let's go to the Amplified. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 in the Amplified. It gives you a little bit more meat there. Amen? Verse 19, Colossians 1 in the Amplified says, for it pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, the powers and the attributes should dwell in Him permanently. Talking about Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Way back here in Romans it said, I was supposed to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Well, if I'm going to be conformed into His image, and I'm going to walk like Him, talk like Him, and look like Him, does this apply to me too? It should, right? Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. In fact, he's already said in Romans 8:29, we were to be conformed to his image. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, I read that we were to be, he was to dwell in us. Amen. Colossians 1:19 says we're to be the habitation place. Amen. That all the fullness of God is supposed to dwell in him, in Jesus, and we're going to be conformed to Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 reads like this. For in him dwells, there's that word again, amen, makes a permanent home in, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Don't stop, because that's not a period at the end of that sentence. Verse 10, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Now that's good, but it's not good enough. You got to hear it in the Amplified. Verse 9 in the Amplified. For in him the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. Verse 10. And you are in him made full, and having come to the fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. What did I say in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10? That the church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers. You aren't going to do that if you aren't full of the Godhead. But you are. It says so right here. Amen? In Jesus, we are full. Because God made him full. Amen? He made him the firstborn of many. He made him our... We were made to be conformed to his image. Amen? Praise God. God is good, isn't he? He wants us to be conformed to his image. He wants us to have everything Jesus had. And then some. Yeah, and then some. He said, these things that I do, you'll do too, but you'll do even greater things. Amen? Excuse me. A little dry. Hallelujah. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. You got all this fullness. You got the Godhead in you. You've been conformed to the image of Christ. You're full of glory. What are you going to do with it? You're going to just let it sit there? I mean, he prepared us beforehand to be containers of glory. Amen? He prepared us beforehand to fill us with his glory. But he cracked us. He cracked us. He wants us to spill out. Yes. Amen? Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 2. I got to get there too. And verse 9. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I was in the wrong Peter. But you, say me.
Me.
Say I.
I am a chosen vessel.
Amen. But you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're his own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what are you going to do with all that glory? Well, remember, glory could have also been praise and worship.
Amen.
No? You're supposed to proclaim the praises. Not just in here.
That's right. That's right.
Not just in the school on Sunday mornings. How about your workplace? How about letting the people around you when you're at work hear you praise the God that raised you and pulled you out of darkness? How about letting them hear you thank Him for what He's done for you? I mean, you don't have to make a show out of it. Just don't hide it. We hide it. We go into our workplaces and we hide our thanking of God. Or we don't do it until we come home. Come on. I'm talking about myself too. I've been there. I know we all do it. But you know what I found? I found out that where I work, yeah, there's a lot of heathens there. I work in a shipyard. And I'll tell you what, the office I work in, they knew me before I was a Christian, most of them. And they know me now. And they know what they can say to me, and they know what they can't say to me. And the reason I say it that way is because they know if they come up and say the wrong thing, they're going to get something back in love. But I'm going to preach to them. Every one of them. It doesn't matter who they are. Every one of them has come across it at one time or another. I don't hide my God. Right on the side of my cubicle is the sign that says, I love Jesus. Come on. And I had a Navy captain stop at my cubicle one day, and I had never seen the guy before in my life, in uniform. And he is that your sign? I go, yeah, that's my sign. He goes, you're pretty bold. I go, yeah, I love my God. He goes, I lost one of my jobs for doing something like that. I says, bless the Lord. Yeah. and he understood what I was saying, you know. He was proud to do it too. But he thought I was bold because I was doing it. I said, somebody tells me I have to take it down, I might. That's exactly what I said to him. Well, no. Nobody's told me I had to. In fact, we've seen such awesome things through the fellowship that we used to have going there. It's kind of fallen off now. Certain people have left that was part of it. And people will come to us and ask us to pray for them or for people they know. People that don't go to church, that don't know God, so to speak. But they'll come to you and ask you. I had a guy that completely just lit into me one day because I asked him if I could pray for his back. He was having back problems. And I got hurt on it, and then the Holy Ghost corrected me about he wasn't mad at you, he was mad at me, and we squared it away, but he didn't think that was right for me to ask at work. Well, when his stepson got sent to Iraq, guess where he came? He came to my desk and he asked if we would pray for his son's safety. Amen? So they know, they see, and what you do reflects on how they look back at you. Amen. You need to reflect the glory of God that's in you in everything you do, in everything you say, and the way you act. Amen. Don't be a Christian just when you're in church. I know some people that profess to be Christians, and I'll tell you what, I'd love to send them down and preach to them because to me they're not Christians. They may go to church. There's a difference. Amen.
Right.
Christian means Christ-like. That means you walk and talk the image of Christ wherever you go. Amen? Let's continue on here. That was a little side note. Publish his praises. Amen? Glory from within, spewing forth wherever you're at unto your God for what he's done for you. For all the world to see. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what publish his praises means. It doesn't mean stand up on Sunday morning and sing behind the worship leader. Anybody can do that. It means walk down the street singing praises to God out loud. Don't care what the people think. If they don't like it, they can cross the street.
That's right.
I'll sing louder then. You know? God's put some boldness in me, I'm telling you. He had to. I couldn't stand in front of a class in high school and give a high school speech. Hello? I said God likes to turn things around. And he likes to take and just make you do things you'd never do. Amen? Now that word praises, I got to share this too. That word praises in that verse right there, the Greek word is arete. Arete, I think is how it's pronounced. And Interestingly enough, some of the translations that it could have been are manliness. Manliness. Valor. Excellence. Praise. Or virtue. They chose praises here because it fit best with the writing of what they were saying, I think. Now, there are some other scriptures where I went and looked that up, that same word, where they used the word virtue instead. Same Greek word. And one of them is in Peter where it says, add to knowledge virtue. Well, why not add to knowledge praises? And to praise worship. Amen? So you can substitute those. That's why I like doing a study in the Greek, in the concordance, or using the Amplified. Because you find out what other words could have been used there. And sometimes another word will go click to you. Amen? And the whole verse will then just come alive to you. And that's the Holy Ghost working with you. Amen? So don't be afraid to do your studies in multiple translations or to pull out that concordance and look up what that word, look it up. I mean, just because you think you know what it means, I knew what praises meant, but I was prompted to look it up and see what other words could have been used. And it struck me as funny that it could have been manliness or valor. I mean, let's go back and try to read that and to proclaim the manliness of him. Why not? Why not? Don't tell me God's a woman. Huh? Proclaim the manliness of him. It says so right there. Okay, let's move on. Most people, this is interesting. Most people think that the glory or the anointing or the presence of the Holy Ghost has to be a feeling or a sensation or an appearance that comes on you. Well, let me tell you something. That's only a skin-deep anointing. Amen? That's all Moses had. That's all Moses got was a skin-deep anointing. And he spent many days in the presence of the Lord at a time. And only got a skin-deep anointing. Amen? I want more than a skin-deep anointing.
Amen.
I don't care what I feel. You know, because to be truthful with you, I don't really feel his presence that much as a feeling. I just know in my knower that he's here.
That's right.
That he's at work in my heart.
Amen.
Amen? And that's what counts, is to know in your knower.
That's right.
Because when you know in your knower, you'll do what he tells you to do when he tells you to do it.
Right.
You won't wait for that feeling. Oh, I didn't feel it yet. I can't do it. No. God tells me to lay hands on somebody, I don't care. I'm not doing it, he is. I'm his outreach.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I spoke a little bit about Moses, and I'm going to get into that in a minute, but let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Amen. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Oh, here we go again. We're going to the Amplified. I can see that. Oh, glory. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I don't know about you, but my Bible says the glory of the new covenant. Right above verse 7. Amen. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious. Now, what is he talking about here? Talking about the Ten Commandments. Talking about the law Moses brought down off the mountain, right? If that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, by the way, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Moses didn't have the Spirit. We do. Amen? How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? I want more than a skin-deep anointing, folks. For if the ministry of condemnation, that's the law, amen, had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Already he's told me I've got much more glory than Moses got, even after being in his presence for 40 days and 40 nights. And I don't know how many times. Amen? But a few. Verse 10. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Amen? See, my glory doesn't fade. The glory that Moses had did. Amen? Verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Yeah, we do. Like I said, I was in high school. I couldn't do this. I still can't do it unless the Holy Ghost is here. But He's always here. He's always present. He never leave me. Amen? He's my paraclete. He's right here.
That's right.
He's got His arm around me. Amen? Verse 13. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. Now, most people think that Moses veiled his face so that the people could look at him because the glory was too bright. It's not true. Moses put the veil on his face when he was done talking to him. Amen? Hold your place. Turn over to Exodus chapter 34. I don't want you to take my word for it. I'm going to show you. Moses only had a skin deep anointing, and it didn't last. It left him on a regular basis. Exodus 34. Verse 29. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to go to the Amplified. It's got to be louder for you so you can hear it. Praise the Lord. God is good. Come on. I can't think of anything bad to say about Him. Wouldn't if I could. Amen. Verse 29 in the Amplified, Exodus 34, 29. When Moses came down... Oh, wait a minute. I got to back up 28. Got to do that. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He ate no bread, drank no water, and he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Okay. Now, interestingly enough, this is also the seventh or eighth time that Moses has been up on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. This isn't the first time. This time was 40 days and 40 nights. And he came down off the mountain. Verse 29, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in his hand, he did not know, if you're reading King James, it says he wist not. That means he didn't know. Amen. Did not know that the skin of his face shone. Underline that word shone. The Hebrew word translated there as shone. Oh, Lord, help me. Well, it's pronounced Koran. Not the Koran. Koran. K-A-W-R-A-N. Okay? It's not like the Islamic Koran. No. But here's what it means. It means to shoot out horns. Amen? Or raise, or to have horns, or to shine. So the translator chose shine, or shone. And sent forth beams by reason of his speaking with the Lord. Okay, his face shone because he had been speaking with the Lord. And when Aaron and all the Israelites, verse 30, saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, shout out horns, amen, they ran. I would too. You know? Amen. And all the leaders of the congregation, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they feared to come near him. 31, but Moses called to them, and Aaron and the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and he talked with them. That's the leaders. Amen. Afterward, all the Israelites came near. And he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had said to him in Mount Sinai. Verse 33, when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Moses was a conniver. He was hiding something. He was trying to hide the fact that the glory was leaving him. Because as soon as he finished transmitting the word of God that he was supposed to give to the people, from being in the presence of the Lord, his glory began to fade. And he didn't want them to know that the glory was leaving him. Well, you know what? You don't have any way of knowing whether the glory's left me or not, because it ain't on my face. It's in my heart.
Amen.
Amen? And you're going to have to ask me if it's fading or not. But I honestly believe that my actions will tell you where you won't have to ask. Amen? You might not see it shine, but you'll know by my actions that it hasn't. Amen? Okay. The glory would begin to fade as he finished giving the word, so he put that veil on. And go on to verse 35. Where's no, 34. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off. Now, why do you suppose he did that? So the glory could be put back on him again. Amen? And when he came out, he would command the Israelites what was told him. And they saw the face of Moses, how it shone. And then Moses would put the veil back on. He was hiding the fact that it was leaving him again. Praise the Lord. I told you to hold your place in 2 Corinthians. Let's go back over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you lost your place. Amen. And jump down to verse 16. See, I don't know about you, but I don't want that glory to leave. I want more than a skin deep anointing. I want to be full of it. The glory.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Nevertheless, well, let's back up to 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, or the Ten Commandments, the veil is put on. Amen. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on our heart. Well, you don't really see with your heart in the natural, but you see with your heart in the spirit. If your heart is veiled, when Moses is being read, you don't understand. Amen? But verse 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord. How many in here have turned to the Lord?
Amen.
I believe that everybody raised their hands, okay? I know you didn't want to, but that's okay. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Amen? Now the Lord is the Spirit. Who's the Lord?
Spirit.
That means he has control, right?
Yes.
Amen. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Okay? He's got liberty to do what he wants to do here. That's the way I read that, folks. He has the liberty to do with me what he wants to do during this service and with you. Now, you also have some liberty too, but I read it as he has the liberty. Obviously, we're not in bondage because of it. So, praise the Lord. And there is liberty. Verse 18, but we, all of us, with unveiled face, here's where it gets good, beholding as in a mirror. With unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. If you're looking in the mirror, who are you seeing?
Yourself.
What is it? That's not what he said. He said, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Amen? And it gets better. Beholding the glory of the Lord. I mirror the image of the Lord. Are you following me? Way back when I started, I said we were to be conformed into His image. Yep. Amen. And are being transformed into the same image. Now that word transformed there is the same Greek word used in Matthew 17, verse 2. When Jesus was up on the mount and He was transfigured before them and His clothing became robes of white and His hair. It just said, I'm being transformed the same way. Same word. Same Greek word. They just used a different formulation of it in the English here. Means the same thing. Transfigured. Amen. The Greek word is metamorpho, where we get our metamorphosis from. Amen. It's exactly the same word both places. So, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, I'm being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the phrase from glory to glory, the Greek word from, means to leave one place and go on to another one. It's all that in one little Greek word. From. From glory to glory. To leave from this place and go to another place. It's not the same glory. It's another level. Amen? I'm being transfigured day by day, hour by hour, level by level. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Yes,
yes. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, we as believers have been bestowed the greatest privilege in the universe when it comes to glory. We've been allowed to become the image of God, to contain His glory, to show forth His glory. Even the angels aren't allowed to do that, folks. We have the greatest privilege in the universe as believers. Amen. We're in a position to mirror, just said so, the glory of God. Now remember though, glory could also be praise and worship. Are you praising God in everything you're doing? Are you worshiping God? Or are you worshiping something else? Amen? We're to be transformed into His very image. Amen? Does that mean I'm going to have the same white, golden white hair? Gee, I hope so. Be nice. Starting down here already. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't have a problem with it. It just shows that it's changing. Hallelujah. And glory to God. Let's go on down now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, all the way down to verse 6. We're being transformed into His image to be able to mirror the glory of God. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness who has shone in our hearts. Amen? That word there, shone, is not the same as in the Hebrew, obviously. But it's just about as strong. It's lampo, L-A-M-P-O, probably where we got the word lamp. And it's basically a verb, actually. And it means to beam or to radiate. Amen? To beam or to radiate light. Who has shined out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But hey, wait a minute. I'm being transformed into His image. So, He's given me the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in my face. Amen? As far as I'm concerned, He has. His Word said so. I didn't. I'm just going to receive it and claim it. It's mine. I'll be one of them name it, claim it group. I don't care. There's nothing wrong with that as far as I'm concerned. Amen. That's how you get what you need. You speak forth His word. You don't go begging for it in prayer. Nothing wrong with prayer, but you don't go to God begging in prayer for something. You take His word, you stand on it, and you proclaim it. Amen. And then you thank Him in prayer for it. Come on.
That's the truth.
I have a house because of that. There was no way in the natural we could have got the house we're in. The Spirit of God told me what to do. Right from the very start, telling me to go look for the house. Amen? So, you know, nothing wrong with standing on God's Word. I went through all of that tonight because I wanted to get to this. I believe that praise and worship releases the glory of God that's in you. And I believe that because praise and worship is the glory. Amen? But that glory also contains His anointing, His power, amen, His provisions. What do you need from God? Start praising and worshiping Him. Start thanking Him for what you already have. Amen? And start professing what He says you can have.
Amen?
Amen. And then when it comes, make sure you thank Him that you got it. Amen? And don't be like the children of Israel who killed the Messiah when he came after they prayed for Him. When God sends your what you're asking for in the hands or by a brother or sister, don't turn it down. Amen? Because He's got to use people to get to you what you're asking for. It's not going to fall out of the sky on you. I mean, He could do that, but it doesn't line up with His word that way. What Luke 6:38 says, good measure pressed down and shaken together will men put in your bosom.
Right.
Amen? So if you're believing for something, it's going to come by way of man or woman, you know, by a brother or sister. It might even come by somebody out there in the world. Come on.
That's right.
Hey, maybe I should start believing for my house just to be paid off.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know? That didn't come from me, folks. I'm gonna start confessing that.
Amen.
Maybe somebody will walk in and pay it off.
Amen.
I don't care how it gets done.
That's right.
I'd like to retire early.
Amen.
Okay, I believe praise and worship releases the glory of God. I believe it releases the power that God has. Amen. It says in 1 Peter 2:9 that we're a chosen generation. Amen. A royal priesthood. A holy nation, His own special people that were to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. If we're supposed to do it, there's a reason for it. Amen? 2 Peter 1:3 says, by His divine power, we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Amen? There it is again. And by the way, that's the same Greek word there that was used over in 1 Peter for praise, the word virtue. So it could say that has called us to glory and praise. Amen. Ephesians 2:22 said that we're built together for a habitation of God by His Spirit. He wants to dwell in us. So He can put His glory in us. Amen? So that we can be full of His glory. So that we can use that glory. It's not for us. Not to keep for us. We can have to use. But the glory that He's placed in us is for the world. Amen? He wants to cover the earth with His glory. He's got to do it through you. Through me. Amen? Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10 said that we, the church, are to contain the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means now, in this present time, in this physical body, not when we go to heaven. Excuse me. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, I showed you that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known by who?
By the church.
To who?
The demons.
Made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. They're supposed to run in fright when they see you. Amen? You shouldn't have to stand and argue with any of them about anything. If you do, you better go check your power level. Actually, you better go check your glory level because you're probably low. Amen? You probably haven't spent enough time in praise and worship. Amen? I'm finding that more and more. The more time I spend in praise and worship at home as well as here, the more I feel the anointing, the more I feel the power level raise, the more I feel like doing the things of God. Hello? I'm speaking like it is. We don't always, even as leaders, feel like doing the things of God. Come on. There are things that we would, sometimes our flesh would much rather do. But the more time you spend in praise and worship, the more time you spend in His presence, amen, the more that anointing will rise, the more that call will rise up in you. Everybody's got a call, don't we? Amen? The more that'll rise up, the more you'll want to do it, amen? You know, it says in Psalm 91, that's not even in my notes, but when you spend time in His presence, under His wings and in His feathers, who can get to you? How many enemies? None. And it doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you that day. If you know how to step into that secret place, if you know how to step across the threshold and enter into praise and worship, they can't get to you. A real good example of that was Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, folks. They're in the inner prison of a dungeon in a Roman jail. Not the outer prison. They're in the inner prison. They're in stocks and chains. And what did they do? They began to praise God at midnight. It didn't say that they started asking Him to let them out. It didn't say they started begging for release. It said they began to praise God and the other prisoners heard them. Amen? And the glory fell, folks. The whole prison was shaken, and all the doors and all the chains and all the stocks opened up. Come on. It wasn't an earthquake. It was the glory. Brought on by praise and worship that they released from within their spirit. Amen? Regardless of the situation they were in, they chose to look to God and everything He'd already done for them. And they knew that He would see them through what was going on. Did they know that He would release them? I don't know. I can't read their minds. But they knew God would see them through, no matter what it was. Amen? And so they just began to praise Him, to cry out and sing praise to Him. Loud enough that the other prisoners heard Him. They weren't afraid. I don't think there were that many other Christian prisoners in there, probably. You know? They didn't care. They praised their God. And the glory fell. And the jail was opened. And they were released. Now, also, the jailer and his whole family became Christians because of it. Gee, what's the glory for? It's for the world. Amen? If we display God's glory to the world, they will see something they want. Amen? If they see someone who says they're a Christian acting like the world, you ain't got nothing they want. Amen. But when you display the glory, when you release that glory that's already in you, it's not something you got to go find. Romans chapter 8. Or actually, Romans chapter 9, verse 23. You were prepared beforehand for the glory. Well, I don't believe He prepared you without filling you with it right then. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good, are you?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you full of the glory?
Yes.
Are you full of the Word?
Yes.
Are you ready to praise and worship some more?
Yes.
Let's do a couple more songs. Amen. Praise the Lord.